Oh, let's lift our hands and let's give God thanks tonight. Let's give God praise. Give God praise. Use us, Jesus. Anoint us, Jesus. Pour out your Holy Ghost. Empower. Equip. Anoint. Baptize us. Let's lift our hands and let's love him right now all over this building. Right where you are, I want you to lift your voice and ask God to give you a fresh revelation, to birth something on the inside of you. I am a minister. I'm a servant of the Most High God. He's going to use me for his purpose. Thank you, Jesus. To minister doesn't mean to be a big dog or a big shot or get in the limelight. To minister means to serve. And when Jesus came into this world, he washed the disciples' feet. And he said, you want to know what my nature looks like? This is it right here. He modeled servanthood because God is a servant. The mode of ministry in the kingdom is servanthood. And if you don't believe God is a servant and is ready to serve, call on him. Call on him right now. All over this building, just call on the name of Jesus and watch. He'll show up. He'll come with healing. He'll come with provision. He'll come with blessing. He'll come with empowerment. He'll come with favor. He'll come with refreshing. He'll come with whatever you... If you don't believe he's a servant, call on him right now and you'll find out he's there. Oh, right now, let's just love him. In these moments that we have, let's lift our hands, let's lift our voices, and let's call on the name of Jesus. Yes, yes. Somebody call on his name. Somebody call on his name. Amen. Amen. You can find a seat. Oh, thank you, Jesus. What a beautiful spirit is in this house. What a beautiful opportunity to gather together in this sanctuary and let God mold and God to shape our hearts and our minds. Thank you, Brother Sutton, for the Word of God. All as ministers. When they came to Moses and said, listen to him. They're out of place. They can't do this. Listen to them. They're prophesying. Moses said, I would that they all prophesied. Praise God. Because the day is going to come when they're all going to prophesy. And I can feel it in this house right now. God wants to speak through us. God wants to use us. God wants to empower us. When Brother Sutton and Brother Collins and when the brethren, when they start, then we'll really have church. No, we're going to have church when we all show up and we all become what God has ordained that we are supposed to become. And he uses your lips and he uses your hands. Amen. I'm conscious of the time. I know we have a full schedule over the next few days, so I'm going to go to the Word of the Lord. John chapter 15. Turn with me. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. I give honor to the ministering brethren that are here. Dear friends, it's an honor to be with you here in Birmingham, and it's good to have South Haven with me here tonight. Young men from home. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 1. If you have it, say amen. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. And herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. And so shall ye be my disciples. And I want to take a few moments, and I want to talk to you tonight about the vine, an organic approach to ministry. Look at the person next to you, tell him, you're supposed to be a vine. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. So let's examine here in these few days a biblical approach to ministry. It is God's will for us to be the New Testament church. And the New Testament church is a vine. It is a vine. It is a growth, a kind of a growth, a special kind of a growth that when it is done right, it bears fruit. It bears grapes. And there's a lot to be said of the vine. One of the things to be said is if you will bear those grapes, you will be crushed. You will face heartache, you will face pain, and the flesh, the physical structure of the grape will be crushed. Gethsemane means the press, and it's a wine press, it's an olive press, and this, whether it's olive or whether it's grape, you will be crushed so that something can flow out of you. Jesus was crushed. And the physical became spiritual. The grape became wine. And the wine that we enjoy in this house tonight in the Holy Ghost comes from that vine. Amen. So we can talk about a lot of those things, but I want to talk about how we are that vine. Jesus uses this word. He chooses this word on purpose. And he doesn't say that I am the tree. He doesn't say, I am the bush. He doesn't say, I am the flower. For everybody that wants to look pretty and dainty, you are not the flower, you are the vine. We don't need pretty church, we need real church. I'm sure you got a pretty hat. I'm sure you got pretty clothes, but sometimes you just got to get real with God and say, God, I need you right now. And you got to You got to shake your hair out. You got to loosen your tie up. Amen. I didn't come to look pretty. I came to be anointed. I am the vine. You are the branches. Judaism was a tree. It had a trunk. It had a central trunk, strong. It was foundational. It was root bound. And the tree grows in one location. It is there. Judaism is different than Christianity in that Judaism is a complete, not only a spiritual structure, but it is also a political structure. It is also a social structure. Judaism had provision for taking out your trash. It had provision for when you got sick. It had provision for collecting monies for the furtherment of the political kingdom. Judaism was a solid, rigid, anchored structure that was limited to one spot. It was a tree. Christianity is a vine. Amen. And what the tree can't do, the vine does. Amen. Judaism, with all of its Old Testament glory, served its purpose. But for the New Testament, God said, I'm not going to be taking out people's trash anymore. I'm not going to be bound by geography. I'm going to spread. I'm going to reach. I'm going to go. I'm going to stretch. Hallelujah. And I'm not interested in being the government like I was in Judaism. We don't need a king, and we don't need a court, and we don't need an army. That's what trees are for, that in governmental structures. That's what governments are for. But I'm going into all the world. And as the vine, I can do things the tree can't do. Are you Roman? Do you have Roman government? Fine. The tree can't affect that, but the vine can. The vine will grow up the existing structure that's already there, and it'll use Roman structure. And it'll grow over the columns, and it'll grow through all of the artwork. It'll grow through the galleries, and the vine can grow over something that's already in place. Amen. The vine can grow on communism. The vine can grow on democracy. The vine can grow anywhere and everywhere that it needs to grow because it's not bound by the things that the tree was. I've got a worldwide plan. I've got a worldwide calling, and I'm reaching and stretching. We are supposed to reach. And so, as such, we are not trying to do things through the government. We're trying to do things through the kingdom of God. Because God can do what government can't do. Amen. Rome can build great structures and governments can have government programs. But I read an article the other day, a fascinating article. It said that all of the billions of dollars that the United States has sent to South America and Central America and to Africa, all the billions of dollars and the aid programs and the money that they've poured into that, they said it is nothing compared to the power of Pentecost. You can throw money at things. You can have government do things. But God can do more in 5 minutes than what a government can do in 5 years. Hallelujah. They said Pentecost is sweeping through South America. It's sweeping through Africa. It's sweeping through Central America. And a government can't do it. The tree can't do it. But the vine can. It can reach into homes. It can crawl over existing structures and barriers. Hallelujah. So we reach and we stretch. If you're not comfortable with people different than you, then you need to become a vine. Stretch into areas you're not comfortable with. Stretch towards people that don't look like you. Stretch towards people that eat different food than you eat and wear different clothes than you wear and have different skin colors and talk a little bit different. Stretch into areas that you never thought you would go into, because the kingdom of God is a reaching, stretching, moving, living thing. I am the vine and you are the branches. Somebody say, stretch. Amen. You can be seated. So let me hang the vine on a nail for a second. It'll just hang out there. And let me talk a little about an organic approach to ministry, because we need to be ready to be the New Testament church. And somewhere along the way, Pentecost, and this is not true of this church. Thank God you have good leadership and a good pastor and good directors here in the church. Thank God for them. And this is a fitting place to hold this gathering and this meeting, because there is ground being broken here, and there's ground being broken in other parts of the country. And as sin is rising, grace is also rising. And I'm not intimidated by the sin, because as bad as that sin is, the grace is that much greater. It's that much greater. With the rise of perversion, there's also a rise of revelation and a rise of outpouring. And as sin strengthens, men and women of God are strengthening. And God, for every Goliath, God's got a David that is ready to rise up and say, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not intimidated. And I have the weapons to take you out of the game. Thank you, Jesus. And somewhere along the way, Pentecost got the idea that preaching and ministry was only done in a pulpit, and that preachers would go and would preach a message, and then they would leave and go to the next place and preach a message, and there would be very limited ministry. And men will go out on what they call the evangelistic field, and when they go out there, they will find out that it is difficult to survive on the evangelistic field like you did in the 20s and 30s, because it's a different day. And there's an itinerant preacher model that people fall into, that where they say a whole lot behind the pulpit, but they don't do a whole lot. And that's not what Paul did. And that's not what Peter did. When Paul didn't preach on a Sunday night and Monday go out on a golf course and work on his handicap. I'm not preaching against golf. I'm just telling you that you got to get a real idea of what ministry is all about. You got to know how to go into the highways and the byways to the poor and the blind and the maimed and the halt. And you have to compel them to come into the Father's house. And there are frustrated ministers who want to do the work of God and actually believe that it's hard to do the work of God, and that there's people who don't want this message. Listen, if for every person that thinks that Pentecost is dying and things are drying up, there's other young ones that are coming up that are being trained a different way, that are saying there are so many Bible studies to teach, so many hungry people to reach. If you've got a drug addict, you've got a Bible study. If you've got somebody that's broken, you got somebody that needs Jesus. Amen. So there's an organic approach to ministry. Ministry works. Evangelism works. You just got to go to the right place. There are people that will go into wealthy places and they will try to minister to people. Hey, will you come to church? Come to the house of God. Knock on doors. You knock on doors in some gated communities and they call the police. Well, nobody wants Jesus in here. Hey, how hardly shall a rich man enter the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Just because you feel like it's beautiful and manicured lawns, and boy, it'd be nice to have all these rich, wealthy, smart people in church. I'll go in here and I'll do great ministry. Jesus never did great ministry there. Jesus went into places that were tough. He went to places that the kind of places that folks didn't think anything good could come out of those places. You went where? Oh, come see a man. He's Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Is there any good thing in Galilee? It's not that people don't want Jesus. It's that you're looking in the wrong spots. You can't go into the ivory towers of this world and try to find somebody that wants God. They are wealthy, they are powerful, and they are self-sufficient, and they say that they don't need God. You got to go where the rubber meets the road, and you got to get to where there's a need and there's a hunger, and somebody knows they need Jesus. They know they need a touch of the Holy Ghost. They know that they need the hand of God. There is an approach to ministry. An organic approach. And so I want to talk about that. It's analogous to fishing. Jesus said that we would be fishers of men. And for the sake of this message tonight, I know they fished with a net, but indulge me, because it's just good preaching. There are different fish that bite on different lures. We got any fishermen here tonight? Let me see the hands of the fishermen. We got any fisherwomen? If you fish for any length of time, you'll know that there are different fish, different kinds of fish. And if you are fishing for a largemouth bass, it's very different than fishing for a catfish. Bass have a different nature. Catfish have a different nature. And so when you fish for a bass, you use something that rattles and clinks and shines, something that runs on top of the water or it hops off the bottom. You need movement. A bass is a little bit crazy. Anybody know some people like that? They're just a little bit crazy. Some of you are bass. Just got that little crazy side to you. A bass will bite on car keys if you present them right. All you need is a little sunlight shining off of it, and a bass. And there's people that are like that. They are instinctive. I'll even use the word predatory. They are ready to gobble things up. They are hungry. Amen. And so when I go out fishing, I make sure I know the kind of fish I'm looking for. Amen. So when I go door knocking, I don't go out into the wealthy places, just like I don't fish for bass with a catfish lure. If I'm fishing for bass, I fish on the top. Or I fish it with a certain approach off the bottom, because they strike at certain things. And when I go into certain neighborhoods, I will take a different approach. I want to go into a place, if I'm knocking on doors, where I can lay hands on them on their doorstep. Some people, they call the police on you and they think you're attacking them. But there's some folks that need God, and they need God right now. And they got probation showing up, and they might have a little weed in their back pocket, and they might be playing dominoes with their friends. And when I walk up and I say, I'm the man of God, and I came to anoint you, and I came to pray for you in the name of Jesus, I'm praying for you right now. There's people that need God, and they need it right now. They need God, and they... Not Sunday, not in the building. They need it right now on the street corner. And I've seen people lift their hands and start speaking in other tongues. And as the Spirit speaks through them. And you can be bold, and you can be strong, and you can minister in Galilee. Go to rough areas, go to tough areas, go to areas where there's need, go to areas where there's a single mom who's stressed out and losing her mind and needs God and needs help. Somebody that's struggling with probation, they're struggling with difficult times. They know they need Jesus. We're not called to sit here and just be pretty and just look pretty and smile at each other. We're called to go into the highways and the byways. They went to one man. He said, well, I bought some oxen. They went to another man, said, I just married a wife. Another man said, I've bought a plot of ground. I can't come to your feast. So the master said, fine, go out to the crippled people and go out to the blind people and go out to the people that don't have it all together. They'll come. They're hungry for the things of God. Go out and get somebody that you find that little boy whose dad is in prison and is vulnerable. And you say, your daddy's not here yet, son, but come on in. I'm going to let you see what the Holy Ghost is like. And when dad gets out, he'll get the Holy Ghost too. And so when I pastored in Fort Myers, we went to people that knew they needed God. We went to people who would listen. And they weren't wealthy, and they weren't powerful, and they weren't what you would call the high strata of society. And these, isn't it amazing that Jesus committed the secrets of the cosmos into the hands of fishermen? He put it in the hands of blue-collar people. He put the mysteries of the planets in the hands of folks that didn't go to college. And that makes some people mad. Oh, but man, when the blinded eyes started opening, and when the deaf ears started becoming unstopped, and when the lame legs started walking, the kingdom of God had come into the world. And they started from a roots, grassroots position. They didn't start out flying high. They started out very humbly, very broken. Hallelujah. Very, very simply, they came to the common people. Sometimes you just need to pray somebody crazy through to the Holy Ghost. You need that old guy that nobody can handle. Now you're beating your head up against the wall. You're trying to witness to people. They're not listening to you because they go over here to that church and they're a deacon over here at that church and they're a bus driver over here and they're a missionary. They're not a missionary at anywhere. They just call themselves that, but that's just what they are. And they're wrapped up in religion and denomination, and they're that way because their mom was that way and then their grandma was that way. They don't know what they believe. And there'll be some guy in that community or some girl in that community that's all messed up, and you just need a demoniac. When I got to the island of Roatan, everybody was a Christian. They shouted, they spoke in tongues, they did all kinds of stuff, and they why should we go to your church? We can dress how we want to dress, live like we want to live all week long, and come shout on Sunday, and we're fine. And I couldn't break through to them. I was having trouble breaking through. So finally I said, all right, God, I need a demoniac. I need a crazy man. I need that guy that they bind him with chains and he tears the chains off. That guy that they've tried and they just can't fix him, because I know you can do it, Jesus. And one day, one young man, Brother Edson, came into our church. And Brother Edson, I love Brother Edson. He was my demoniac. He was one of the drug runners on the island. People had given up on Brother Edson. He was a little crazy. But Edson's still a little bit crazy, and he loves Jesus. He'll sit there on the beach, and he'll jump out at the beach, and he'll tell people, let me tell you about the Holy Ghost. Where'd you come from? And he came in, and he had devils, and he couldn't overcome them. He couldn't overcome a spirit of fornication. He couldn't overcome drug lifestyle. If you can make more money selling on the streets than you do working a job, it's very difficult to put it down. And it's just the real life stuff that people wrestle with. And he came in, and I'll never forget the night he got the Holy Ghost. He lifted his hands. God filled him with the Holy Ghost, and he fell backwards on the ground, and he spoke in tongues for 2 hours. For 2 hours, God filled him with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And nobody else, couldn't get anybody else coming to church, but God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And we baptized him in the name of Jesus. And when he came up, he said, this is the greatest thing I've ever felt. And he went out into the community, and he started preaching Jesus. The guy that used to push drugs is now pushing Jesus. So when he walked out there, people said, what in the world is going on with Edson? He was the drunk, he was the drug addict, but now there's something different about Edson. Let me go to the church that did that. This is not religion, this is not faith. There's a vine, man, and it creeps its way through communities, and it moves its way into people's homes and through their families. And it's simple. And it's a platform for God to showcase his glory. God will start with very humble circumstances. He'll take broken people. And so that's where we minister. That's where Jesus began to minister. You want to know where to begin to minister? Go to a place where they need God. Some folks live in places where they don't know they need God. That doesn't mean God can't save them. God's got a plan for them too. They're just a catfish. They bite on different stuff. You can go fishing for catfish and fish with a bass lure all day long. And you'll run jigs and you'll run top spinning lures and deep dive lures and shallow dive and whatever. And they're and you fish all day. Catfish all over the place, but they're not touching it. And you say, there's no fish in this pond. Nobody wants this. And then you can go fishing for bass, and you can take some smelly dead thing and run it all the way to the bottom and wait for bass to hit it. And while you're waiting for the bass to strike on something it will never strike on. But there's not a bass in this pond. The problem isn't that there's no fish. The problem is the approach is wrong. You got to have the right thing. You got to know what you're fishing for. And so we begin to fill up our church with bass. People who just wanted to get the Holy Ghost. People who were just ready right there. They were ready on the street corner to get the Holy Ghost. They were ready in the supermarket. We had people laying hands on people in Walmart. We had people laying hands on folks in Sam's Club. And people were getting touched by God in public places. And those are people. They may not have it all together, but they're ready for a move of God. And they're ready right now. Amen. They're ready right now. There are people ready right now all over Birmingham. They need somebody to come and pray them through. They need somebody to come and preach Jesus to them. There are people in your school that are ready right now. Hallelujah. People on your job that are ready right now. And if you'll present Jesus to them, they'll strike at it. They'll grab onto it. Whatever you've got, that's what I want. And so we went into difficult areas, challenged areas, and we preached and we taught and we knocked doors. We knocked doors for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. We were just all over the place spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we filled up our church with people. And when we filled up our church with people that would respond to that, the place was packed. And you'll have problems when you have that kind of revival. We ran out of room. We had a service one day on an Easter Sunday. Our building sat 175. We had 230. And the balcony was creaking. And people were on top of each other. And it was hot. And the air conditioning was overloaded. These are good problems to have. We had bass all over the place. Amen. And church was great. Church was awesome. And we had a fist fight that morning. Some of the brethren, they were saved, but they weren't saved very long yet. and we had a powerful service, and one guy got knocked out in the Holy Ghost talking in tongues. And he had parked behind a guy that had to go to work. And so the guy that had to go to work went out and saw there's a car behind his car. He said, I don't know whose car that is. That's so-and-so's car. So we went back inside. He went in, and so-and-so slain in the spirit. He said, hey. Get up, man. Move your car. I got to get to work. He said, leave me alone, man. I'm caught up into heaven. He said, you're about to be caught up into heaven. Don't get up, move your car. My boss gonna fire me. I've been late 3 times. Nah, man, I'm talking to God. And it escalated till finally I said, brother, I shouldn't miss that. I walk outside and the brothers are killing the brothers outside. And I said, brethren, you guys can't do this. Well, and that's just the stuff that happens when you start having revival. There's going to be stuff that breaks out and people are going to have problems and they're going to be real problems, but God will work. And God, hey, don't you be afraid to go to people that have problems. Don't be afraid to go to folks that need the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid to go to somebody that still smells like alcohol's coming out of their pores and cigarettes coming out of their mouth. And they've got, you got to go out and you got to find them. Amen. And when you have revival there, then you'll find out that there are people that are watching. People that you'll find the Joseph of Arimathea's, you'll find the Nicodemus's who have been watching the whole time. And these people, they do have money and they are educated and they might have to fight through a little bit of stuff, but they need Jesus just like everybody else needs Jesus. And they might not bite on a direct approach, but they will bite on an indirect approach. And they begin to drive by our church and they saw the parking lot packed. They saw cars double parked. They saw cars on along the street. They saw cars blocking each other in. And when church would let out, there's a multitude of people walking out with families and kids, and everybody's smiling and beaming, and they got something that we don't got. What's going on in that building over there? And my church isn't like that. My church is like a freezer. It's like a refrigerator. It's dead, and it's full of all kind of stuff. But whatever's going on over there, and one day they pull in to investigate. And when they pull in, they find out it ain't dead. It's alive. It's moving. And they might feel uncomfortable, but something about it feels good. Something about it is moving. These people got a hold of something. And they might observe, and they might watch. And they will not bite on a door knock, but they will bite on the power of God and the testimony of somebody that has been saved by the Holy Ghost. God will use little ones to reach those that are higher up in our societies. The scripture talks about Naaman the Syrian. And Naaman was a captain of the host. He was a great man, a powerful man. But Naaman was a leper. And I don't care how great you are, in the eyes of God, you're not much. You got to come to grips with what you really are. You might have all kind of stuff together. You might have friends that have it all together, but everybody's a sinner. You got to come to grips with the fact that I need God. Naaman needed God. I know you're a captain of the host, but you're a leper. I know that you have great command, but you're a leper. I know that you might be a boss, but you're a sinner. I know that you might have a college education, but you're a sinner. And you need Jesus, and you need him right now. And if God can't reach you directly, then God will bring a little one. The Bible said that there was a little one that was in his house that said, oh, that the man of God, oh, that this, you could come and feel the man of God and hear the man of God in Israel. He could recover you of your leprosy. Let me tell you what that is. That's the secretary at the job that says, oh, that you were at church on Sunday night. If you were at church on Sunday night, boss, you wouldn't be hungover this morning. You would feel what we felt. Oh, that you were there. You wouldn't be having this trouble in your marriage. You wouldn't be struggling with what you're struggling with if you were just in my church. God will use little ones to reach those that are higher up, and God will use them for his glory. Amen. And all of their PhDs and all of their money won't stop the Holy Ghost from reaching into their lives. It won't stop the kingdom of God from going to work in their lives. And it won't be everybody, but there are people that need Jesus. Birmingham needs Jesus. And it doesn't start at the top down. It starts at the bottom up. And it goes from a grassroots, organic dynamic up into the upper stratospheres of our world. And they're going to come from everywhere, from every walk of life, and every skin color, and every education level. God wants to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Oh, I can't talk to them. They'd never listen to me. Honey, you have no idea what door the Holy Ghost can open up and what He can do to use you for His glory. Praise God. What the world calls problems, they're the church's opportunities. That the church's opportunities. I know that alcoholism is a problem, but when I see a person, I don't see a statistic and I don't see someone who's beyond reach. I see somebody that needs the Holy Ghost. And what our world is wrestling with, it's time for the church to step in. Politicians are wrestling with it. They're giving money to stuff and they're fighting over all kinds of stuff. The church just needs to be the church. The Holy Ghost just needs to be poured out in our communities and in our neighborhoods. And it doesn't need to be stuck inside these four walls. Amen. We need to go. Preachers don't need to stand behind pulpits and just talk about it. Young men, if you want revivals, you go into a church and you preach on Sunday, and on Monday you go into that community and you knock on those doors and you teach Bible studies and you bring people to the house of God. You want revivals? You want pastors to keep you? Then go. 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 Preach. The vine goes. The vine stretches. The vine moves. God's church is a stretching, reaching thing. It's not something you just preach about in a pulpit on Sunday and then we'll do it again next Sunday. But it's something that you do on Monday. Young preachers that get in pulpits should not get up and talk about things they've never done. They shouldn't preach it because they heard Brother Urshan preach it. And they shouldn't preach it because they heard Brother Sutton preach it. But they should preach it because they did it last Monday. And they did it last Tuesday. Don't talk about who other people that are casting out devils. Talk about the devil that you just cast out last week in Jesus' name. And your preaching will be born out of conviction. It'll be born out of personal experience. And God will show up in that house. Ah, hallelujah. God will bear witness. God will testify. Somebody say amen. Amen. This is how the vine operates. I'll even say this. People that get caught up in trying to pursue what they consider successful people, the apostles never did that. Some people think that you can just buy your way into anything. In the world system, whoever has the most money is who gets glorified. That's not how it is in the church. You can't buy the church. You can't buy the preacher. What's good for one person is good for another person. Amen. And yes, we are all equals in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And when that kind of a dynamic starts happening, people realize it's not about money. It's about the Word of God. It's about church. Young men aren't exalted in pursuing money and pursuing earthly success. They're not trying to preach for big name preachers. No, they're just trying to preach the Word of God. Oh, well, I'll finally make it when they let me preach peak, or they let me preach a conference, or when I finally get up in the pulpit. Oh, you got it backwards, man. You've got to get out in the highways and byways, and that's where the preaching happens. That's where the work of God happens. I don't want to hear from somebody that's never been out there and done that. I don't want somebody telling me how to do anything that's never actually fought the devil. I want somebody that's been there, has fought the battle, and has come back and said, God is great, and He's greatly to be praised. When those Hebrew spies came back, they had fruit on their shoulder that was so big it took two men. I've got a testimony. I've seen the good of the land. I've seen the blessing of God. And I'm here to tell you, He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a savior. And it works because it just happened. There's an organic approach to ministry. There's a dynamic in vines that's pretty interesting. Vines are trained to grab a hold and climb. And that behavior has a name. It's called phototropism. And what that does is the vine says, there's light up there. And so I'm going to climb. And I'm going to climb until I can get up to the top where there's light. There's even a phenomenon called negative phototropism. This is where a vine can go across the floor and it'll detect that the light's not enough. It's shade. It's not light. It's not full light. Amen. And this is one of the reasons why, if you're going to be a minister, if you're going to be used of God, you don't settle for the low lights of this world. I don't need my name up in lights, and I don't need to be a famous athlete or a famous star or what Hollywood calls successful. That's just partial light. That's low light. And there's people that live for that. That's all they want. They just want recognition. They just want to be big in their environment, big among their family, big among their peers, big in this world. I'm not interested in that. There's actually a negative phototropism that the vine will actually detect that the light's not enough, and it will leave that light and start going towards darkness because it knows that means it's a tree, and it'll climb because there's greater light up top. I'm reaching for a greater light tonight. And it might get a little dark before it gets lighter. Amen. That's what humility is all about. We need humble preachers, humble ministers, men and women that don't mind getting their hands dirty and they walk away from the limelight of this world. That's not enough light for me. I'm looking for the light that put the sun in the sky. I'm looking for the light that put the stars in their place. I'm looking for the Holy Ghost. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I'm looking for the kingdom of God, and I'll go into the darkness, and I'll go into the humble circumstances because there's a greater light here, and I'll start climbing. Praise God. I'm going to start climbing in the kingdom. Every service we're here, we're climbing. Every Bible study we teach, we're climbing. Amen. Every person we witness to, we're climbing. Every verse we read, we're climbing and we're latching on. I see vines that curl around branches and they curl around structures. When you pull on them, they don't move. And one of the reasons I'm not moving is because I'm wrapped around some things. I've got my tendrils wrapped around Deuteronomy 6:4, and I've got it wrapped around 1 Timothy 3:16, and I've got it wrapped around Acts 2:38, and I'm not going anywhere because I'm climbing a little bit higher in the Holy Ghost. I'm climbing service by service. I'm climbing chapter by chapter. I'm climbing prayer meeting by prayer meeting. I'm climbing conference by conference and Bible study by Bible study. And I'm reaching for things that are brighter and greater until finally you reach the top. And that's the true light. There's a true light that lights every man that comes into the world. There's a true vine that we are branches of. And that's what it means. The church is not a tree, it's a vine. One thing about a vine is the roots will be over here, but the branches will be over here. These roots go all the way back to Jerusalem. They're way over here. And they started moving. And they started stretching. And they moved their way up into Italy, into Rome. And they crawled over Roman ruins and they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they moved into Corinth and they moved into Galatia and all the New Testament places, Thessalonica. But they didn't stop there. The vines got in a boat and they came over on the Mayflower. Amen. And it's stretched across the Atlantic. And the vine is over here. And there's places where people have chopped off that vine. There's places where there's been the struggles with that vine. But when you chop off a part of the vine, you don't kill the root. You just kill it in that one local place. Because the root system's not there. The root system's way back in Jerusalem. Amen. So they can cut off James's head, and they can cut off and crucify apostles, but you might kill one of us, but you ain't getting all of us, because we are a vine, and we're coming. We are coming. You might mess up. Somebody might backslide. Somebody might fall away, but there's going to be more coming after me, because you're never going to touch these roots. These roots go all the way back 2,000 years ago to the day of Pentecost, when they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And this vine moves into Birmingham, and it moves into South Haven, and it moves into all. Praise God. This vine's moving into China. And you can try to stop it all you want to. They put up walls. I remember hearing the story of my great-grandfather. They said, stop preaching in the name of Jesus. It's illegal to preach in the name of Jesus. And he said, I'm going to keep preaching. They said, if you keep preaching, we'll kill you. He said, well, I'm going to keep preaching. They arrested him. He said, we're not playing with you. Stop preaching. You're causing distress among the people. It's illegal. And he said, well, let me go. I'm going to keep preaching. And they arrested him a second time. And he kept preaching Jesus. He got out, kept preaching. Third time they arrested him, they put him in front of a firing squad. They blindfolded him. And men with guns stood in front of him. This was back in the early 1900s in Russia. And the Bolshevik Revolution was going on. And they said, do you have any last words? Some people want a cigarette. Some people want a last meal. Some people want to say something. He said, yep, I got something I want to say. And he started praying and calling on the name of Jesus. And then he started talking in tongues. Amen. When he got done talking in tongues, 30 minutes later, he took off his blindfold, and there were no guards. Their guns were on the ground, and they had run off. And the interpreter said, I didn't know you spoke Russian, Brother Urshan. He said, I don't speak Russian. And the interpreter said, well, you just said in fluent Russian that the angels of the Lord were around this place. And if they touched the prophet, the angels would kill them. The soldiers ran. And I'm telling you, there's a vine. 6 months later, 2,000 people were baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Because you can try to put a wall up and the vine just goes over the wall. The vine just climbs the wall. The vine climbs the pillar. Whatever structure you put up, the vine climbs over it. There's a vine coming through your neighborhood. There's a vine coming through your school hallway. There's a vine coming through your mall. There's a vine. Let's lift our hands and love God tonight. Musicians, come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm stretching. I'm stretching. Hallelujah. Let's love him right now. I want to become. We don't need more young men who learn to speak in a pulpit and polish messages. We need men and women that will go out into the highways and byways and will stretch and will reach and will latch a hold of and will bring forth much fruit. The vine stretches into Central America. The vine stretches all throughout the United States. The vine is stretching into Africa. It's stretching into Japan. Hallelujah. Honey, that vine is Jesus. And you're his branches. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Before this conference is over, I don't want you just to shout, and I don't want you just to dance, and I don't want you just to sweat a little bit on a special service. I want God to put down on the inside of every single one of us that he's going to use me for his glory. Young men that are going to preach evangelistically, not just in a pulpit, but in the communities that we're in. We need people that preach on Monday, and people that preach on Tuesday, and people that preach on Wednesday and Thursday, Friday and Saturday. We need people that are ready to lay hands on people in the name of Jesus right where you are. Reach out to somebody. Minister to somebody. God, you are not just anybody. You are a child of God. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. You've got the Holy Ghost. You got to use the Holy Ghost. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. We need young men and young ladies to start learning Spanish, because you need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in a language that you don't know yet. There's people that don't look like you and don't talk like you, and they need the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. And you beat your head against a wall of success, and beat your head against a wall of education, and beat your head against a wall of people that aren't hungry. Fine, if you don't want it, I'll find somebody that does. There's a lot more people that want it than people that don't want it. I'm going to find somebody that needs the Holy Ghost. I'm going to Galilee. I'm going to Nazareth. I'm going to the addict. I'm going to the drunk. I'm going to the messed up. I'm going to the broken. I'm going to the prostitute. I want somebody to step out in the aisle. Come. Hallelujah. They're going to sing. I want somebody to ask God to help you stretch. Ask God to help you reach. Hallelujah. Ask God to help you minister. I want some young ladies to be ready to testify about what happens at church, at your job on Monday. I want some young men. I want some little ones in Israel. I want some little ones to be ready to speak to Naaman and say, oh, if you had just been in Israel, there's a man of God that can help you over there. And if you knocked on Naaman's door, he'd probably call the police on you. But the little one that's in his house, he knows her. And she can speak to him. I want some little ones to lift your hands. And I want you to take an organic approach, a grassroots approach. I want you to be the vine. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Lift your hands.
Breakthrough in my mind. Breakthrough in my spirit.
Lift your voice.
Breakthrough in my soul.
The vine's going to climb over the wall.
You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise.
The vine's going to climb.
When I lift and glory,
the vine's coming.
Name.
The vine's reaching. It's stretching.
You
reach.
Are the God.
Stretch.
You are the God of the breakthrough in my heart. Breakthrough.
Stretch to your coworker. Stretch to your family. Reach to your boss. Speak to your coworker.
You are the God of the breakthrough.
I worship, breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, in my spirit, in my soul. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, in my spirit, in my soul. You are the God.
Hold it right there. There's people here, you want to be used of God. If you want to be used of God, I want you to lift your hands to heaven. I want you to ask God to put this down on the inside of you. I want you to ask God to give you a holy boldness. Hallelujah. I want some young men. I want you to grab a handful of flyers. I want you to go out into your communities, into your neighborhoods. God gave you strength. God gave you energy. You don't need to waste it. You need to go out and you need to tell somebody about the Holy Ghost. You need to lay hands on somebody and watch as God heals them and God sets them free. Ask Him to fill you. Ask Him to baptize you. Somebody needs to activate the Holy Ghost that's inside of you. Stir up the gift that is inside of you, that was given to you. All right, I want to tell you something. If you don't use what God has given you, it will go dormant. God has given you the power to lay hands on the sick and they recover. God has anointed you to overcome hell and overcome Satan. You have this power. If you have the Holy Ghost, you have this power. And there's too many people backsliding because they're not active. Activate. Right now, ask God to activate it on the inside of you. Open my mouth. Use my hands. Use my feet. In the name of, I will not backslide on the pew. I will not backslide in the church. But I'm going. I'm reaching. I'm stretching. That's it. Somebody lift up the name of Jesus. Let Him put it on the inside. Let Him put it on the inside.
Breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in the weak, breakthrough in the struggle.
That's
you
it.
You are the God.
In the name of
you
Jesus.
You are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my pray, breakthrough in my lift and glorify your name, breakthrough in my dance, breakthrough in my shout.
You are the God.
You are the God of the breakthrough in my heart.
In my mind.
Through
in my mind,
breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul.
In my breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in my struggle. You are the God, you are the God of the breakthrough. Breakthrough when I dance, you are the God. In my mind, in my spirit, in my weakness, you are the God. In my praise when I lift and glorify your name, you are the God.
By the show of hands, raise your hand if you've seen a notable miracle outside of the church in your ministry. Hands down. Raise your hand if you want to see a notable miracle out on the street. What does the Bible say? Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses. About 2 years ago, God woke me up out of a sound sleep, and he told me to go and teach a Bible study. Now, I was teaching Bible studies, but it was a specific Bible study that he told me to go and teach. I made the invitation, went into the home, and started teaching the Bible study. In 2 years' time, I have seen more notable miracles than I have seen in the rest of my life combined. Let me just give you a little bit of a snapshot. Before every Bible study, I go around the room and ask the question to the family, what do you need God to do in your life? And I don't blow past it. I go to every member of the family. I ask the young man, what do you need in your life? I ask the young lady, what do you need in your life? I ask the mom and the dad, what do you need God to do in your life? They had house plans that they had drawn up 20 years before. That marriage was falling apart when I went in. They had forgotten about the house plans. One day, just in prayer, they said, we want to build a house. I said, God will help you build it. They found land. It was met with resistance. It couldn't happen. We prayed about it and God opened the door. We transitioned in the middle of the Bible study from their house they had been living in for 15 or some odd years and into the home that they built while we were teaching Bible study to them. One day the dad told me, my wife has been diagnosed with cancer. They found a mass in her body. And the doctors say it's cancer and they believe that it's malignant. And in the middle of the study, they said we need to pray about this. And I said, God can heal her. The next week she went in for a scan. The doctor held up the previous scan, held up the new scan, and said, there's no tumor, there's no mass. He was so frustrated that he went back and did a second scan. He came back. He's holding up two pieces of evidence against the prior, and there's no tumor. Sister comes to visit in her late 50s. She sits in the Bible study. We go around the room. I say, what do you need God to do? She said, I am disabled. I cannot work. I have been disabled for a number of years, and I have petitioned and cannot get my disability to clear. She said, but I cannot work.
I said, okay, we're going to pray today that God will open up the door for your disability to clear. 2 weeks later, last Sunday, the man I'm having Bible study with walks in the door. The lady that we're praying for is not in the church. He walks in the door. He said, Brother Stephen, you won't believe this. He said, Danette's sister that we've been praying for got a letter back from the federal government, got a $40,000 settlement on her injury, and is going to get $1,100 for the rest of her life a month. I want to tell somebody, you've got the power on the inside of you, but what you have to do is you have to connect that power to God's purpose. And when you get those two, there's some people under the sound of my voice tonight. You say, I want the power of God to flow through my life. I want to tell you something tonight. God's going to begin, if you will ask Him, God is going to begin to talk to you. God's going to lead you and show you a place to go and a purpose. And I'm telling you, the power of God. Does anybody believe it tonight? I want you to lift up your hands all over this house tonight and say, God, show me what you want me to do. I want your power to flow through me. Come on, one more time. In the name of Jesus.
Break through with my soul, break through with my weakness, break through with my struggle. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I live to glorify your name, breakthrough when I dance. Breakthrough when I shout, you are the God. Breakthrough in my heart, oh God. Breakthrough in my spirit. You are the God.
Come on, somebody go ahead and shout one more time before we dismiss tonight. Give God some praise in this place.
Breakthrough when I
shout. We worship your name, God. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise for everything that we've heard tonight, for the word of God that's gone forth. We praise you for your word, God, that's forever settled in the heavens. Thank you, Brother Sutton and Brother Urshan, for the word of God that went forth tonight. Remember, young people, there is going to be an after event at Trustful Play Station starting at 11 o'clock. If you don't have a ticket for that, you can pick one up in the small kitchen. Also, for all of the pastors, your family, we would love for you to come and fellowship with us in the gym. God bless you tonight, and you are dismissed in the name of Jesus.